In today's episode, we are going to talk about emotional intelligence, why it is important, not just for managers, supervisors, leaders in businesses and companies, but also for safety professionals, why emotional intelligence is a critical aspect to you being successful as a safety pro. We'll get into all of that in this episode.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
All right, everybody, before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right, as promised, we're going to get into emotional intelligence, how this is a critical aspect of your success as a safety professional. And maybe you've heard of, you know, EQ or emotional intelligence, and maybe you don't fully understand, you know, what's the relationship between EQ and IQ and personality. You know, we've heard of type A's, type B's. You know, what does all of this mean? Well, I'll boil it all down, just give you the nuggets of info that are important for you to understand, and get you some links to some resources that will help you continue to develop your emotional intelligence. And yes, it is something that can be developed, which is very important to understand before we get into this conversation. That is something you can develop. And that's what we want you to do as safety professionals, develop this capability, the skill set that you need to have in order to be successful. So a couple of things. One, I was reading an article recently from Safety and Health Magazine online. And of course, that is the National Safety Council publication, which is fantastic, by the way. And the article was titled Team Players, Strengthening the Relationship Between Safety Pros and Frontline Supervisors. And we've talked about this at length for a couple of years now on the podcast, whether I had covered it in how to integrate safety into existing business processes, lean safety, like, you know, using benefit language and being able to make, you know, stronger connections with managers and supervisors, you know, stringing all those together. I think we can kind of summarize it in this episode as, you know, what the byline was for this article, strengthening the relationship between safety pros and frontline supervisors. I'll have a link to the article as well so that you can read for yourself. But look, I'm going to kind of boil it down. A couple of the tips they mentioned just in speaking to supervisors is one, you know, putting the relationship first, you know, instead of going right into what you want somebody to do or what they did not do correctly, you start with asking how's it going? How are you? Things like that. It's called being a human. I don't know why we have a switch that flips when we go from the social setting to the work setting where our communication changes, because we're still dealing with people. We're still communicating with people. So yeah, putting the relationship first, skipping the jargon. You know, safety pros out there, you know that this is my big pet peeve. Somebody that just goes right into, technically, according to 29 CFR 1910, just you stop that, okay? Don't say you know, your Dart and Tisser, and you and me, we can have that conversation. You know what, if I'm doing a podcast or you and I are having a conversation as a safety pro to another safety pro, and the context of the conversation is about our total case incident rate, or TISR, right? TCIR. You know, you and I can talk like that. Don't come to a supervisor and go, hey, you know, our Dart rate for this project is, just skip the jargon, right? Don't mess with any of that. Tell stories. Make sure that, you know, you have a conversation that if it involves technical issues, you know, you can actually turn it into a story, relate it to them somehow, but don't talk down to them. It's not because they don't understand. They have every manager I've come across has the capacity to understand this stuff, the technical side of this stuff, but they're not safety professionals. That's why you're there. You're supposed to be that filter through which this information goes, and then out the other side, you can actually present it in a way that they understand. Use benefit language, right? Highlight the benefits. This next tip in this article is how it's going to benefit them, their crew, their project, right? Their the company, whatever motivates them. And then, of course, following up with them, making sure that you circle back, make sure that they still understand where you left the conversation or any conversation, what you've asked them to do, and if they need any help, make sure that you're there to support them. So all of this, right, these tips, it requires a certain approach. It requires a certain skill set. And we're gonna just put a label on that and call it EQ, or emotional intelligence. So what is, you know, we know IQ, you know, in the intelligence quotient, right? And everyone likes to hang their hat on the IQ. And there's three pieces to intelligence, IQ and EQ being the two most important. But, you know, we can talk about their personality. But IQ and EQ, what's more important, do you think? Well, if you said IQ, intelligence is the most important thing, or at least it's the start, right? The first thing that you should have, you might be shocked that it's not probably true. And I say not probably because there's a lot of research about this. There is a lot of science behind this. And some argue that it's more important to our success than cognitive intelligence. But, you know, we'll get into the difference between the two, right? But if you're not sure what emotional intelligence is, then we're going to get into just that. I also have links to some resources that you're going to want to check out to get even more immersed in what emotional intelligence is and how it can benefit you. I even have a link to an emotional intelligence exercise that you can take, because again, this is something you can improve. And that's a very, very important aspect to this that you have to understand. All right, so what the heck is emotional intelligence, right? There's all sorts of sources out there on the internet that you can look at, even like just Wikipedia, which I don't put a whole lot of stock in, because all kinds of folks can contribute to that, kind of shape it into what, you know, their experiences have been with any given topic or subject. So I tend to go to verified sources, scientific sources. So I've gone to a couple of psychology resources here, and I have collected some information, boiled it down, and I'm going to share that with you. I will have links in the show notes as well. But basically, you know, EQ, or emotional intelligence, is, or describes, an ability to just be aware of your own emotions as well as the emotions of those around you, and to distinguish between, and of course, be able to label different emotions correctly and use emotional information to guide your thinking and behavior, and then also influence others, right? It's what we use when we empathize with our coworkers, right? That's EQ, that's emotional intelligence. Or have a deep conversation about your relationship with your significant other, or, you know, attempt to manage, you know, one of your children that's out of control, or disorderly or unruly or whatever. It allows us to connect with others, understand ourselves, and of course live a more, you know, healthy, happy life. Now, the difference between EQ and IQ, EQ is emotional intelligence, right? Which we kind of just gave you a boilerplate statement. It's all about identifying emotions in ourselves and others, relating to others, communicating about our feelings. You know, you can get goofy with that, but you know, it's important. IQ, on the other hand, that's cognitive intelligence. That is the intelligence that people are, you know, most familiar with, and it's the type that is most often referred to when the word intelligence is used. It's also the type that's often measured through testing and estimated through things like a grade point average. There's also, not to throw too many complications into this, but it's important for our discussion, right? There's social intelligence and emotional intelligence. Social intelligence is more closely related to EQ than it is IQ because they both have to do with navigating social or emotional situations. However, there are two distinct types of intelligence, even though they kind of somewhat overlap. Imagine like a Venn diagram where these two circles, they have an area where they do overlap. Emotional intelligence is more related to like the present, what is happening, you know, right now during this conversation, being able to pick up on body language and facial expressions and tone and empathize and put yourself in their situation as you're listening to them explain this to you and then be able to respond to support or advise or coach accordingly. It's used to identify and manage emotions in the moment. That's emotional intelligence. Social intelligence, it uses some of the same skills and abilities, but it's often focused toward the future. It allows you to understand the feelings, personalities, and behaviors of yourself and others in order to seek positive outcomes at some point other than during that conversation. So that's why I bring it up. These two are very important for you as safety professionals because you have to be able to think long-term down the road. And so that article that I talked about strengthening a relationship between, you know, safety pros and supervisors, that's exactly what that is. That's not so much emotional intelligence as that is social intelligence, being able to understand that you're building something, you're headed towards some future state with every interaction that you have. And it's not that it's got to be calculated or contrived or, you know, manipulating. It's got to be natural. So, you know, how can we do this? And it starts with understanding these two basic things. Now, there are two numbers to remember to help you understand what emotional intelligence is all about. 5 and 4. There are 5 components of the emotional intelligence model and 4 dimensions to EQ. The 5 components or elements and domains of the EQ model are 1, self-awareness, 2, self-regulation, 3, motivation, 4, empathy, and 5, social skills. So for self-awareness, this can be just the ability to recognize and understand your own emotions and how they impact and drive how you respond and react to situations. Okay, self-regulation, you know, one step further is, you know, to have a high EQ, we must not only be able to recognize our own emotions, which was the first one, but we also have to be able to appropriately express, regulate, and manage them. So that filter, we've all met those folks. We've said it. We're like, oh, she or he has no filter. Whatever thought pops into their head, it goes right out the mouth. They don't even think about how it sounds, about the situation. I know somebody that's like this. They don't know how to read the room, right? We're talking about 1 and 2 right there. Self-awareness and self-regulation. Just not having those abilities, right? Okay, so people that have high EQ generally possess more intrinsic motivation, the third aspect to this. In other words, people with high EQ are motivated for internal reasons rather than external rewards like, you know, wealth, respect, or fame. They get a satisfaction out of building relationships and connecting, making connections with people. Those with high EQs are motivated for their own personal reasons and work toward their own goals of satisfaction. Now, and that's okay. We talk about servant leadership as an example. So they're highly motivated. Those people are, I'm in that category. This is why I do all of this. You know, I want to reach and connect with new people and different people and
talk about these things and share our experiences, it's very self-motivating, and that's not a bad thing. It's just we don't talk about it in those terms, but that's exactly what it is. People who are very charitable, philanthropic, right, that want to give back, that's very self-motivating, and that's okay. It's okay. People feel good when they help other people. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you think about it by definition, that's self-motivating. The fourth one was empathy. Now, empathy can be defined as the ability to understand how other people are feeling and that recognize on some sort of intimate level that how you would feel if you were in their position. Okay, that's not the same as sympathy, right? It does not mean you sympathize or validate or accept their behavior, just that you can see things from their perspective and feel what they feel, and it gives you a better position from which to have a discussion. And we see this a lot in safety. Think about this. When you see a worker who says, I was just trying to get it done faster, maybe they were motivated by, like, they have a baby on the way. They have somebody who's sick at home. They were going to be late for an event with the family, or they've been working overtime and wanted to get home. Maybe they wanted to get the project done faster. Maybe it's not personal motivation that they were rushing or trying to get hurry up, but maybe it was, they wanted to be a good team player. They thought they had the best intentions, right? So it's what's important for us as safety pros when we interact and engage with individuals where hypothetically that was a condition of being in a hurry or rushing. Maybe there was a near miss or a minor incident or property damage or first aid, something like that. But the ability, empathy comes into play, because if we're going to truly dig deep and do a root cause analysis, we have to have this ability. So empathy, don't discount that one. Finally, social skills, the last piece of the EQ puzzle. These skills are what allow people to interact socially with one another and to successfully, navigate these weird social situations. You've all met these socially awkward people. They just don't know how to behave in a certain situation. It's different than number one and two. It's different than being aware and not having that filter. Socializing is tricky. It's related. But we've all met those folks where they're smart, one-on-one they're fine. Maybe they get nervous. Maybe they feel like they don't fit in. Maybe, they have to get to know somebody a little bit more before they're comfortable. Maybe it's a confidence thing. But look, social skills are critical. Those with high EQs generally have higher than average social skills and are able to effectively pursue their goals and get the outcomes they want when interacting with others in social environments, social settings. So you've all met folks like this. They have no problem whatsoever meeting new people. They have no problem being thrown into a situation where they're uncomfortable. They've never met any of these folks. It's sort of out of their comfort zone. They don't care. They can look, listen, and sense where the conversations are going. They can have conversations, meaningful and genuine conversations, like, hey, did you catch the game last night? Somebody who's got strong social skills in the other four areas that we just talked about nailed down, they're able to say, you know what? I don't watch a lot of football, but what was exciting about that game? Get them talking, and then you learn more about them. Like, oh, this person's a Bears fan. Oh, this person, really likes that player. This person really likes to watch football or basketball or whatever. Somebody who, like me, for example, I don't have the time to watch sports. I wish I could, but I just don't. I can't. I don't even know where to start if I were to try to watch basketball and college football. I know people that are like, they follow college football. And I'm like, do you pick a division? Do you pick, I don't know. I don't have that kind of time to invest. Now, that doesn't mean, I don't approve of others. Maybe what I do, because I enjoyed watching football and following football when I was younger, maybe what I do is, live vicariously through others. So I can have a meaningful conversation socially with somebody who's talking about football, even though I don't even watch or follow it. I have questions. I have questions like, hey, I haven't even been paying attention, but Give me the rundown. Top three teams this season. What do you think? And I can learn from that. Get them talking about what they're passionate about. You know what that's gonna do for me? They're gonna be like, yeah, this guy, you know, is not too bad. He's versus somebody who's like, yeah, I don't watch football. And that's it. Shuts it down. So anyway, took a little side trip there because that's something that's happened to me. Look, you've met those people that are socially awkward, and then you've met some that are just social animals. So the five key skills in emotional intelligence, right? Self-awareness, emotional awareness, recognizing one's emotions, and accurate self-assessment, knowing your strengths and limits, and then self-confidence, sureness about your self-worth and capabilities. Then there's self-regulation, that self-control, managing disruptive emotions and impulses that you may have, like getting angry, right? Misinterpreting what somebody says and flying off the handle. We talk short fuse. We talk about these people, right? Trustworthiness, maintaining standards of honesty and integrity, conscientiousness, taking responsibility for your personal performance, and adaptability, flexibility, and handling change, right? Then there's self-motivation, achievement drive, right? Striving to improve or meet a standard of excellence, commitment, you know, aligning with the goals of the group or organization, optimism. Then there's empathy and social awareness. We talked about how critical that is. And then social skills, okay? Those are the five. Now, the four dimensions of emotional intelligence, according to those that did the early research on all of this, is one, perceiving emotion, two, using emotions to facilitate thought, and three, understanding emotions, and finally, four, managing emotions. The first dimension, perceiving emotions, that relates to being aware of and recognizing other people's states, right? That's physical, psychological, like being in pain or feeling frazzled or frustrated or something like that. And then identifying emotions in other people, expressing one's own emotions and needs accurately and appropriately, and also distinguishing between, you know, accurate, honest feelings and inaccurate, dishonest feelings, like people who are being genuine or disingenuous. Being able to pick up on that is important. Using emotions to facilitate thought, that involves redirecting and prioritizing your thinking. And this has to be based on the feelings associated with those thoughts that you have, generating emotions that will facilitate better judgment. So you're going to want to capitalize on mood changes, you know, memory about the interactions you had with somebody so that you can appreciate multiple points of view and use emotional states to improve your problem-solving skills and creativity when interacting with others. So think about using emotions to facilitate thought, you know, the last time you had an interaction with somebody, or as you're interacting with this individual, how a lot of people, they think out loud and work through a problem verbally. So early on in a conversation, you have to be able to pick up on whether this person is looking to just talk to somebody as a sounding board or if they're asking you directly for what to do in a certain situation. Being able to read that is very important. Understanding emotions includes understanding the relationships between various emotions, right? Perceiving the causes and consequences of emotions. These can be complex feelings, and they can even set up a contradictory state. And understanding the transitions among emotions is important. For example, somebody who's coming off as being angry or mad might be hurt, right? Or had their feelings hurt, and it's coming off as anger, right? So that's what I meant by a contradicting state. So it can be tricky to pick up on some of this stuff. You know, we've all been there. We've all had that manager or supervisor where, you know, they got a write-up or they got a poor score on their safety performance on their project or their job site or, I don't know, something like that. And then 2 days later, they're very short with you, cold, you know, giving you the cold shoulder. Maybe he was hurt. Maybe he was having a really rough week and he was really trying hard and was trying to make a concerted effort. And here, you know, we blow through, write him up for all these violations, no feedback, no interaction, no discovery of, you know, how this happened. Maybe they had something going on at home and got pulled away from the project for half a day. And You know, look, that's what I mean. This is something that we can do better at building this relationship. So that's an example. And the final dimension, managing our emotions, being open to both pleasant and unpleasant feelings. You know, being comfortable in uncomfortable situations, we like to say, right? Monitoring and reflecting on your emotions, engaging and detaching from an emotional state when you need to, and then managing the emotions both within yourself and in others, and helping others go through that journey of this emotional roller coaster in certain conversations and situations. That's important. So there you have it. You've got, well, you know, we started with the five key skills and then the four dimensions. And there's some overlap there, but it was very interesting to read those things. Now, I have a book that I think is going to bring a lot of value to you learning what is EQ, how you can improve your emotional intelligence. And it's from Dr. Bradbury and Travis Bradbury, to be exact. And I've gotten two books, so Emotional Intelligence 2.0 and Leadership 2.0, Travis Bradbury's. Both of those are really, really good books. And they really boil down for you all of this stuff that you need to know to help develop yours. And I've got a TEDx video from Travis that where he explains a lot of this, and he does a much better job of doing this. This is what he does, right? So look, there's a link to both of those books, Emotional Intelligence 2.0 and Leadership 2.0. I'm a big believer, you know this, if you've listened for any appreciable amount of time, that, you know, I try to balance technical safety topics with this professional development. A lot of my listeners are you know, looking for safety podcasts so that they can learn and grow and develop their skill set. So, you know, safety professionals. So we got the safety part, that's the technical stuff. It's the professional part that we're focusing on here, folks. That don't forget that you're business professionals, right? You're leaders, whether it's peer leaders or organizational leaders, leaders nonetheless. So don't short yourself on the leadership development. So grab those two books. I have the links in the show notes. And for premium community members, I'll have a worksheet available for you to download that you can go through. And I will have some more information in our post on emotional intelligence over at the Safety Pro Podcast community. So, hey, another added benefit for premium members. If you're not a premium member, give it a thought, because what, it's $7 a month. You get all sorts of additional information and support. We're going to be rolling out live chats, more video training as well. Go ahead and hit the link in the show notes to head over to the community site. If you're not up for a premium membership, no sweat. It's free to join. You can download the app as well, which is highly recommended. I still post all the audio podcast episodes over on the community page as well. And we still have lively interactions and posts going for all other free members. So it's free to join. We do have a premium level for those who want to go deeper. So go ahead and check that out and check the links in the show notes and get started on developing your emotional intelligence. And I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.